Thank you all for coming. My name's Bill Wright. I'm one of the Dharma lecturers, Dharma teachers in training here. And I'm going to be giving the Sunday talk today. This is Echo Bonner, the very great translator.
大家早，我的名字叫 Bill Wright， 我是禅中心佛学老师训练班的一位成员。今天很高兴在这里跟大家分享佛法。坐在我旁边的是 Echo， 他是我们的今天的翻译。
Okay, today I intend to talk about an aspect of the Dharma, one of the basic teachings, one of the oldest and most fundamental teachings in Buddhism. I wanted to do this because in my experience talking to other Buddhists, even serious students of Buddhism, this is one of the teachings that is neglected, I think, a little bit. People find it difficult and off-putting, and so they don't study it that much. A lot of people who know a lot about Buddhism otherwise don't really know very much about what this is. But it's very important, and very important. So just to let you know how important it is, in this book, one of Shifu's first published books, Orthodox Chinese Buddhism, this is the English version. You can buy this back there if you want to, and it's well worth it. Shifu says that conditioned arising or dependent origination, which is another name for this teaching, is, quote, the fundamental doctrine of Buddhism. End of quote. Listen to that again, please. The fundamental doctrine of Buddhism. Shifu says that. So, I presume you're all here because you're interested in Buddhism and you're trying to learn about it. Well, don't you think you should pay some attention to the fundamental doctrine? I think so. Okay.
今天我所要讲的题目，可以说是最这个观念呢，在很最原始的佛教就已经谈到了。也是我们可以说是佛教最最根本和基础的一个观念。许多的佛学者呢，研究佛学的一些学者呢，因为这个题目呢不是一个很简单的一个题目，不是那么容易讲的一个题目，所以提到这个题目真正深入讲这个题目的人并不多。那从师父的书里面，师父写的一本正信的佛教里面，师父有提到这个我今天所要讲的这个题目是以所有佛法里面的最基本的观念。
Okay, also, in this little pamphlet of Shifu's, which we have free copies of, I don't know how many we have today, but you can get one of these for free eventually if you ask us for it. This is called Setting in Motion the Dharma Wheel. This is a pamphlet in which Shifu discusses the Four Noble Truths, which are up there, except there's only three. What happened to the fourth one? Alright. We're getting it together slowly, but we are getting it together. All right.
另外一本小书呢，这是一个跟结缘大家结缘的一本书，英文叫 Setting in Motion the Dharma Wheel。我不知道这本书中文有没有翻成中文哈，不过在这本书里面师父有提到很清楚我今天所要讲的题目。
This is a great book, great, okay. You can read it over and over again many times over the years. I just read it again in preparation for this. And I found new and interesting things in it, and it was very rewarding. So this is a good little thing to have. The Four Noble Truths, as you probably know, were the first sermon given by the Buddha, one of the most important teachings, obviously. Well, in here, one of the legs of the Eightfold Path, in basic Buddhism, they describe the way you should try to live your life, you know, what you should do, what the path is that leads to the cessation of dukkha or suffering, which is the ultimate goal of our Buddhist practice. One of the first steps on it, in fact, the first step, as I call it, is right view. That is to say, understanding what the Dharma actually is. And in here, Shifu says that there are three teachings you really want to know. You want to know the Four Noble Truths, you want to know the three seals of the Dharma, and you also have to know this, conditioned arising. Okay? So this is one of the big three things, you know. It's very, very, very important. I'm just trying to motivate you to actually pay attention to this and think about it and try to understand what the implications are. It's a very important teaching. And it's not just Shifu who thinks so. These are some of my other books. This is Thich Nhat Hanh's book called The Heart of the Buddhist Teaching, where he talks about basic Buddhism. And here he says, the foundation of all Buddhist study and practice is the 12-link chain. The foundation of all Buddhist study and practice. That's from Thich Nhat Hanh. I have the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama book here, he says, dependent arising is the general view of all Buddhist systems. All Buddhist systems, this is the general view, although there are some differences, different interpretations among the systems. But this basic idea of dependent arising is in all of them. And I don't have a copy of it here, but in the Pali Canon itself, in the oldest of the sutras, the Nikayas, Shakyamuni says it is through not comprehending this doctrine that people become entangled in suffering. Why is there suffering in the world? Way back in the very original Buddhism, the Buddha himself said, it's because people don't understand this. They don't understand conditioned arising. Okay? So this is important. It's not really as complex as it seems. It's really actually a very basic, very simple and basic idea that has tremendous power, I think. Think about it and try to remember that it's always out there. Okay. Yeah.
刚刚他举的这些书里面呢，最主要一个是一本是一行禅师写的一本书，还有达赖喇嘛写的一本书，还有最先提到师父的正信佛教里面，这几位大师都提到这个十二因缘的观念。那是师父而且是在提到八正道里面呢，第一个就是这个八正道是让我们能够离苦得解脱的一个整个这个所谓不同的方法不同的道路都怎么讲，八正道是我们必须经由八正道我们能够离苦得乐。那第一个正道提到的就是正念，那这个正念里面呢，基本佛教提到的有三个第一个是就是四念处佛第一次说法的，就是说的是四谛法，这个是四谛法，对不起啊，苦集灭道，这个四谛法。第二个就是三法印，第三个就是十二因缘。所以所谓的正念呢，八正道里面的第一个正念，就是要了解我们必须要有这很清楚的这三个刚刚我提到的一个是苦集灭道的观念的观念第二个是三法印，第三个就是十二因缘。
Alrighty, I gave Echo a draft yesterday for her to work on, but what she just did was stuff that I added between then and now, so she's never seen that before. So anyway, I'm sure she did a great job. I can't control myself. I do that all the time. All right. Anyway. Okay. So, all right. So I hope I've convinced you. This is important. You care about Buddhism? You want to know what Buddhism is? Try to understand this idea. Okay? It's really important. Okay. Now, what is this anyway? Well, the conditioned arising, it's sometimes called dependent arising. And it's also, in the Mahayana, it's sometimes called interdependent co-arising. I didn't write that up, but that's an important distinction, actually, because the Mahayana treatment of this teaching is a little bit different than the source Buddhism treatment of it, although, at least on the surface, although really they come to the same ultimate goal at the end. We'll talk about that in a minute, about what those differences are.
这个因缘法呢，不同的教派里面呢，它用的名词有一点出入，所以我不知道这刚刚 Bill 提的这三种这个不同的名词，这个中文是怎么翻译？不过因缘我们通常就是因缘法，或是十二因缘，缘起性空这些。可能我们都是提到这个道理，就是十二因缘，都是用的这个这些名词呢，就是解释十二因缘法。
Alrighty, so the teaching, what does it really deal with? Well, there's a very basic philosophical question that this teaching is about, which is how did things come to be as they are? Why are things the way they are?That's a question that all philosophies think about on some level or other. And Buddhism certainly does. Now, look at the Four Noble Truths. See number two? Remember the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha went out into the world after being pampered by his father so that he would never, never experience a suffering in life.But eventually when he got to a certain age, he snuck out with his friend out of his house. And what did he see? He saw an old person. He saw a sick person. He saw a dead person. He had no idea that aging, disease, and death actually are part of life. And he was shaken up by this, knocked him out. His friend, he had to ask his friend, what's the matter with these people?His friend said, well, that's an old person. That's a sick person. That's a dead person. He said, well, what is that? Master, that happens to everybody. That happens to everybody. He didn't know that. This shook him up. And that's what motivated him. Then eventually, he saw the fourth note of the noble sights, as they're called. The fourth thing he saw was a sadhu. S-A-D-H-U. That's a word that's used in India to refer to the people who leave home and go out to live in the woods or in the mountains and practice various types of spiritual practices in order to try to attain some kind of state which helps them to transcend the unhappiness in life, this unhappiness that's there. The Buddha decided that he would do that. He would do exactly the same thing. I'm going to do that. I'm going to find out what this problem is, this suffering or dukkha problem. I'm going to find out.And so he left home, and he went out, and he meditated a whole lot. And eventually, he figured out what the cause of dukkha is, the cause of suffering. Because he was able to figure out what the cause is, he was able to figure out a way to get over it. We have a problem, but we know why we have the problem. Therefore, we should be able to solve the problem, because we know what causes it.So, and what's the cause? The cause is this, the 12-link chain of conditioned arising. Why do we have this dukkha? What has caused this dukkha to exist? This is the answer, okay? So this is very closely related to the Four Noble Truths, okay? it underlies the whole idea of the Four Noble Truths. This is why we have that problem.
这个色因缘他所要回答的到底是什么呢？是说今天我们这整个生命是怎么来的，而且我们这个世界是怎么形成的，为什么这个我们说这个娑婆世界是苦，那这就追溯到当初佛陀为什么最后决定出家的原因，是因为他看到有一天他出去看到了四种不同的现象第一个是看到老的人有老人，有生病的人，或是死的人，还有呢最后看到的是一位修行者，让他想到就是想要解决这个苦的这个问题，这个老病死这个三个苦的这个问题，那他就决定出家。出家以后呢，他最后成道了。成道以后，他所讲的第一个就是四圣谛，苦集灭道，就是说我们这个苦为什么会造成我们苦的原因，那由四圣谛演发出佛陀讲的十二因缘的道理。那借由这个了解十二因缘的道理，我们可以知道怎么样解脱，然后离苦得乐。
All right, now what is the cause? Well, in Source Buddhism, in the original sutras, you see lots of statements where the Buddha is talking to somebody and he'll say, because this exists, that exists. Because this ceases to exist, that ceases to exist. Those kinds of statements appear all over the early sutras.And what the Buddha is doing there is he's just trying to get people to realize that there is such a thing as cause and effect. You know, if you do certain things, certain effects will happen, or at least are more likely to happen than they would have been if you hadn't done those things. This is particularly important in terms of karma, the concept of karma, which we will talk about more when we get down there. But, you know,part of the cause of dukkha, part of it is just karma. You have suffering because your karma is coming back to you. But what does that mean? That means that there is in the universe a law of cause and effect that works on some level or other.
那提到这个造成苦的原因，在原始佛教里面呢提到的多有这种说法，就是说因为这个发生所以那个也发生了，因为这个没有了那个也就消失了这种所谓的因果的关系在原始佛教里面就很明确的建立起来。这个因果的关系又提到接着演发出来就是一种业的这个观念因为我们的行为因为我们做出了一些行为，所以我们会因为要受到我们做出行为的这个果报，所以就有这个因果的关系出来了，然后业报的关系也产生了。
All right, now this simple statement, you know, this exists because that exists, which occurs often, is actually can be a little misleading because it gives people the impression that there's just one thing, only one thing is necessary in order for another thing to happen.That like there's a one-to-one relationship between causes and effects. Now, if you think about your own life, I think you'll come to understand that, you know, you'll recognize pretty quickly that that's actually a little bit simplistic. Just because one cause has occurred doesn't mean that the effect will necessarily occur unless other conditions have also been met. That's the way it usually works, okay?
这个因果的关系呢，说起来用字面上解释好像是很单纯的，这个事情发生了，所以就有这样子的结果。 事实上呢不是那么简单的，因为让有一件事这个结果要发生，还必须要这些辅助的这些因素都要产生啊，没有这些辅助的因素呢，这个果是不会产生的。
Now, just as a quick example, let's say that you plant a seed. You want to grow some tomatoes in your garden, so you plant the tomato seed. Now, is that enough all by itself to ensure absolutely that you're going to have a nice tomato plant a few months later that's producing tomatoes? Well, we all know the answer is no. That isn't enough all by itself. There are other things you have to do too to make sure that your tomato plant will grow and produce tomatoes.So now you could say that this seed that you plant is a cause of the tomato plant, right? But there are other things that are contributing too, like causes and conditions. There's more than one cause. The conditions have to be proper for it to happen too, right? Okay, now it's just, isn't that the way reality is? I think we all recognize that. Okay.
举个例子，种番茄，如果你有个番茄的籽，这个籽呢是可以让番茄长出来的一个原因。可是呢，如果你就是把这个籽呢放在土里就不管了，就觉得这样子的话，番茄不会长出来的。因为番茄要让番茄长出来，必须不只是这个籽因为虽然是说这个籽呢能够造成有番茄的这个果。可是只有这个籽呢，这个果也不会产生。
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question.
Let me translate.
Karma. Yeah.
这位女士 Rosa 她要问，她是说听你这样子的解释，好像是说我以前有一些做了一些恶业，那我有一些不好的一些业，那我今生呢，我过去造的一些不好的业，那我今生做一些好的事情，是不是肯定能够软化或是转化我过去的这个业？
The answer is yes, you can. Maybe neutralize is not the right word, but the fact that you have some karmic seeds in your own stream of existence that might come to fruition, and cause you trouble, you know, some bad karma that you created in, say, a previous lifetime or something, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to suffer tremendously in the future. Why not? Because...You have now the opportunity to create good karma, which can, in fact, dilute the effect of the bad karma that you have. Now, there's a sutra that talks about this. It's one of my favorites. It's the Sutra of the Salt Analogy. I just love the name, among other things. But, assume you have a glass of water here. Nice fresh water.And over here you have a handful of salt, big handful of salt. The clear water is your good karma. The salt is your bad karma. You put the salt into a glass of water, you know, a whole handful of salt into just one glass of water. You might not even be able to drink it at all. It would certainly taste very bad if you tried to drink it, right? Okay, but what if you...What they usually use in the sutra actually is they say, well, but what if the salt was just thrown out into the Ganges River, the whole river flowing by? You know, you just throw a handful of salt out there. Would that mean that you couldn't drink the water of the Ganges after you did that? The answer is no, wouldn't mean that. Why not? Because the salt is just, there's just not enough salt to affect that big an amount of water. You have a huge river flowing along, right?You know, a little salt doesn't really affect things. You know, you could drink the water. I mean, I don't know whether the Ganges is drinkable. I don't know whether the water of the Ganges is really drinkable these days or not. I don't know whether it's polluted or what the status of it is. But you understand the idea that So what does that mean? That means you've got bad karma. What should you be doing in your life right now, right today, always and forever? You should be trying to create good karma. We all have bad karma in our past. Remember, you've had thousands of lifetimes. A long time to make mistakes. And believe me, we've all made them, you know. Everybody has bad karma, okay? But everybody has good karma too. Your job right now, what you should be thinking about it, don't worry about the past. Don't be living in fear of bad karma that might show up. Be living actively trying to create good karma. Because whatever bad karma you have, you're diluting it when you create more good karma. So it's always a good thing to be creating the good karma. That's what you should be doing. All right? That doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen to you eventually in your life. They probably will. They happen to everybody. But you don't have to be, you don't have to feel that you're trapped or that, you know, your whole life is, there's no hope whatsoever for you to have a good life because of something that you did in a previous lifetime. That, the rule isn't really like that. You have to actively try to generate good karma now. That's what you should do. Okay?
这个回答 Rosa 的问题，简单的说，答案是对的。这个就是我们用今生这段生命呢，然后继续的造善业，继续造善业，它有一个效果，就是说能够让我们淡化我们过去生所造的一些恶业，这样子淡化我们所因为那个恶业呢所受的果报。那用一个例子来说明这个道理，就是说今天如果有一杯水啊，我们撒一大把盐里面的话，那喝起来这个水就是特别的咸，那可是水的象征的就是我们好的这个好的业，那这个盐呢是坏的业，也就是说这个相对的水和盐的比例呢，这个盐是多于这个水，那所以你喝起来是非常的盐，非常的咸，也表示说你受的苦就比较重。那如果把这一同样的这个量数的这个盐呢撒到恒河里面去，这么大的河，那你再喝恒河的水，假设说这个恒河的水是可以喝的啊，是干净的，这样你再喝起来的话呢，那你感受那个咸度呢就没有像刚刚那一杯水同样的盐的那个量喝起来的咸度就会不一样。那表示是说我们过去生所造的一些恶业呢，这个是没有办法说完全去把它除掉，可是我们可以用今生我们努力的去修行，努力的造善业，这样子的话呢，可以我们这个受的果报呢会变比较轻，而且呢会比较淡。所以说佛法呢佛教不管是什么教派，都鼓励佛教徒呢尽力的去造善业，这就是这个原因。
Okay, now going back to the cause and effect and causes and conditions and so on. We understand that the idea of just one cause producing just one effect is a little simplistic. We understand when we look at the world that really there's a lot of different conditions and so on that usually have to be met before the cause will actually necessarily produce the effect. Now this is the basic idea of Buddhism about how things come into effect. The Buddhist idea is that things come into being because a vast array of different factors have come together to bring them into being. Okay? There's a whole lot of different things that have to happen before any one thing can occur. Now also, when this array of factors comes apart or changes, whatever they're coming together brought into being will change as well. Now this is the idea, it's got a famous name, I didn't write it up, causes and conditions. Okay? You've heard the phrase causes and conditions. Very important idea in Buddhism. Causes and conditions have to be appropriate before anything's going to happen. Okay? That's the basic idea. Okay,
所以在就是刚刚所讲的这个因果观念呢，再结语一下，就是说我们刚刚讲到就是一件事情，就是一个因，种了一个因呢，要使这个因结这个果呢，并不是这么简单，就是一对一的这种关系，就是这个因种下去的因呢，要结果的话，这个果呢，必须要有很多很多辅助的这些因缘要发生，要存在，这个果才会发生。
Okay, now the later, you know, some of the older schools of Buddhism have actually worked out systems in which they describe all the different types of cause and all the different kinds of condition that have to come together. They actually break this down into a very, very complex but precise systems that they use to try to describe what causes can exist and what conditions have to exist in order for these causes to come and to produce, you know, and to produce effects. That stuff is interesting. I'm not trying to denigrate it, but I don't want to talk about it here in any detail because it's, you know, it's very complicated. And I don't think it's nearly as important for you to try to, you know, think about it on that level of specificity as it is to just get the big idea.
那呢，至于这个因果的这个关系呢，这原始佛教的这些经典里面呢，讲得很详细，非常的详细，一点一点的把一些因都举出来，然后一点一点的又把这个可能发生的这些果，然后需要的一些这些辅助条件呢是什么样的，都一点一点的其实讲得非常非常的清楚。我在这里呢，我今天不是要讲这个，因为太复杂了。而且不是短短时间就可以讲清楚的。今天这个讲题主要的目的就是让你们有一个就是很就是清楚的，而且呢就是很基本的一个观念，就是有这个因果的观念。这个观念就是说你种了什么因，然后就会结一些果，那这个果要发生的话呢，必须要一些辅助的因缘产生才会发生。你如果能够了解到这个基本的道理呢就行了。
Okay, alright, so let's just use it a little thought experiment. As an example, let's think of all the things that had to occur in order for something to come into being. This would do a simple one. Let's say, here's a book. Think to yourselves, what has to happen? What conditions have to be met? And think of this sort of like in the way you would do logic. If X is true, then this book exists.Try to think of all the different things that are in X. What kinds of things have to happen before you're going to get this book? Just try to think of all of them that you can.
我们今天举个例子来解说这个这些这个基本的这个因果关系哈。比如说这本书，要这本书能够拿在我手上，必须要哪些条件要发生啊？你们想一想，哪一些条件必须要发生，这本书才会产生呢？Yes.
Okay, are you thinking about it? Are you now what you should be noticing, I think.Is that your list gets longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. And actually, if you really do this carefully, the list never ends. All right? It just goes on and on forever. Okay, now how does that work? Well, okay. Now what are books made out of? Okay, we're asking, what do we have to have, we're trying to get this book.What are books made of? They are made of some various raw materials, right? Paper and maybe some glue and some other kinds of stuff. I don't know exactly ink. I don't know exactly everything that's in a book. But think about what has to happen before you have paper. Somebody has to make paper. What's required to make paper? A lot of different things go into that process. Ultimately, I think paper still mostly comes from trees, right? That's what it's ultimately...created from, and so all the things that have to happen in order for trees to grow have to happen, right? or you're not going to end up with a book. All the things that are necessary for ink and so on have to happen. And then, of course, there are the human beings who are involved in the production of the book. All these people who worked on the putting together of the book, just, you know, the author had, we have an author, this is Shifu. I mean, think about this, this is interesting. This is a book by Shifu. I mean, in order for us today to be able to have this book by Shifu, Shifu has to have lived the life that he lived, right? He had to be born where he was born, he had to go through the experiences he went through, he had to decide to leave home and become a monk, and he had all the things that happened to him had to happen to him, and all the study that he did and all of that stuff. If that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have this book, right? Right? Okay. So what does that mean? Shifu had to be born? Well, Shifu couldn't have been born unless his parents had been born before him, right? His parents couldn't have been born unless their parents had been born before them. Now you can see I'm on a road to infinity right now, right? Moving up this family tree. There's going to be ultimately an infinite number of people, right? You know, or close to that. But, okay, so there, you see how big this web gets. It gets very, very, very big. And in fact, ultimately, when you think about this really deeply, as Thich Nhat Hanh stresses this a whole lot in his teachings, and Shifu agrees with those. He doesn't stress it quite as much, but the ultimate reality is that the whole cosmos comes together to create everything that exists. The whole cosmos. Okay? That's a very important teaching of Buddhism, and it's emphasized much more in the Mahayana tradition than in the Source Buddhism tradition, but it's still actually part of Source Buddhism too. So you will read in the Mahayana sutras or in teachings of Chan masters and so on. You know, they'll say, you know, the entire universe is right here on the tip of this thing. The entire universe is right there. They mean that literally. Okay? kind of weird, right? Okay. But it's the truth. It is ultimate truth. Okay.
举个例呢，这本书，要存在，我现在拿的这本书，要存在的这些，如果你想得很仔细的话，那这个，这些因素呢，越想越多，越想越多。比如说，书的这个纸张，要印书的这个纸张呢，要产生这个纸张，必须要有树，对不对？那树要产生呢，那又有一大堆的因缘元素，让这棵树能够从一个种子发芽，变成一棵树啊。那同时，这个书的这个印的这个油呢，也是要经过好多好多的这个不同的这个手续啊，还有不同的这个材料。然后有这个印书的这个印这个油能够印这些字啊，还有呢出书的这些人，还有不只是这个写书的这个作者啊，必须要有，比如说像这本书是师父写的，那如果没有师父，这本书可能就不会存在，因为这是师父必须要存在，这本书才会存在，因为是他写的书。那师父要存在呢，必须他的父母要先存在，如果没有他的父母，师父也不会出生。那要他的父母又怎么出生的呢？那又是他们的父母必须要出生。所以就这样一直追续下去的话，这整个这个就等于是无穷无尽的因缘啊，要让这本书发生，是数不尽的这个因缘必须要发生。这也是就在一行禅书里面提到的，一行禅师所提到的这个观念，就是说一件事要发生，整个宇宙都要介入， 啊，都是跟这个整个宇宙都有关系，这样事情才会因缘才这个果才会发生。它也就是说，我们是息息相关的。这整个宇宙任何一种芝麻小事，一点小小的东西要产生，跟我们这个宇宙整个这个众生所有一切的宇宙啊，都息息相关，都有才会有发生，才会发生这样子的一个果。所以说，比如说很多大的一些禅师讲说，所有的这个宇宙就在这个毛笔间。他讲的时候，他真的就是这意思，在一个毛笔的这个尖端，这个尖尖的这个上面，整个宇宙就在这里。也就是要提到这个因果的关系，因果的关系就是这样子。一件小小的东西，我们认为很小小的东西，其实整个宇宙都在那里面。
All right, now here I want to interject a little digression, because you heard me say at the end just a little while ago that the ultimate truth is that the whole cosmos is involved with everything that is created. That's the ultimate truth of Buddhism. And most particularly stressed in the Mahayana. But I said ultimate truth. Now what do I mean? Is there some other kind of truth besides ultimate truth? The answer in Buddhism is yeah, there is another kind of truth. And I want you to understand this because I know that when I say everything is interconnected, that the whole universe is right here on the tip of this, and then you go out into the ordinary world and just try to live your life in New York, you know, you can't walk around thinking that way all the time, right? Because you gotta play the game by the rules of the game in reality as you find it. Now there's a teaching that talks about this. It's called the Two Truths. It says basically that there are two levels of reality. One is ultimate truth, and the other is ordinary reality, or ordinary truth, or conventional reality, or whatever. Now, what's the difference? Well, conventional reality is the world that we normally operate in. We're all normal human, you know, average people, ordinary human beings. We all get up in the morning, we cook our breakfast, we, you know, we do what we have to do, we go to work, we have to go out there in the regular world and deal with the regular, ordinary world. Now, while we're doing that, we should be trying to live our lives according to the rules of the ordinary reality that we're in. Basically, that's the Buddhist idea. We don't want to cause suffering to other people, but we don't want to do stupid things like say, well, if everything's interrelated, it doesn't matter what I do. So I won't even try to, you know, get a job, or I won't care about these things because it doesn't really matter. That's not what the teaching of ultimate reality in Buddhism really wants you to do. Now, according to ultimate reality, and this is true, everything is interconnected in the universe. So in a sense, any distinctions that we make are not quite 100% true in terms of ultimate reality. But does that mean that when you're driving your car in conventional reality, you should ignore the fact that a traffic light is red as opposed to green? It doesn't mean that, okay? Because according to the rules of the conventional reality that we operate in here in the U.S., a red light means stop your car. And if you don't stop your car and just go rolling on through, you could hit somebody, right? And, you know, we got to have compassion. You know, half of Buddhism is compassion. Don't do things that are going to hurt others, and don't do things that are going to hurt you either. All right? So any time you find yourself in a situation where you're acting like it doesn't matter what you do, you've fallen off the true Buddhist path, which is a mixture of wisdom and compassion. You got to have compassion. Have compassion for yourself. Don't go sailing through a red light. You might get hurt. Also, have compassion for other people. You might hurt them too. So don't do that. Okay? But that doesn't mean that the ultimate truth of Buddhism, that, yeah, well, you know, these distinctions that exist in ordinary reality, in a sense, aren't as all that true, you know, it's on the level of ultimate reality, they aren't.
刚刚所解释的这因果观念是从一个出世间法的一种观念，就是说从出世间的法的观念来解释任何我们所周遭的一切内外这些都跟宇宙的一切息息相关，息息相连。可是呢，佛法又讲到二法的观念，一个是出世法，一个是入世法。所以在入世法的观念来解释呢，我们每天就是起床该做的吃早饭去上班，好像是跟其他的众生是分开来的啊，表面上看是这样子的。因为你这个用入世法的观念来解释因果的话，好像跟出世间法的这个来解释看起来好像是不是就说怎么讲呢，你了解了出世法的这个观念呢，你对入世法的这个世间法你还是要遵守啊，不能说反正我们都息息相关息息相连的，对不对？那这样子的话呢，我就不需要遵守这个入世法的这些一些法则来生活，这样子的话你会造成对自己会造成痛苦伤害，也会对他人造成伤害。举例来说呢，你开车你还是要遵守这个红绿灯法律啊，红灯你就是不能开，绿灯你才可以开，不能说哎呀反正我们都是息息相连的嘛啊，那反正我开也不是都无所谓了，那你不可以这样子，因为你生活在世间还是要照这个世间法来行为来做事要遵守这个世间法所以这个观念呢必须要还是要很清楚了解不然的话那个佛法是讲要慈悲要有智慧，所以必须要用你的智慧来过一个对自己要慈悲，对他人要慈悲的这样子的一个生活。那所以不可以忽略了这个入世法的一些规则，还有怎么讲这个法定的这个规律。
All right, so remember that at all times. If you don't remember that, if you start being unconcerned and uncaring about what happens in ordinary reality, which you live in, you're on the road to a long, long, long period of bad karma. So don't do that. All right. Well, anyway, okay. So now, let's talk about another... We've talked a little bit about this basic idea of causes and conditions. Things arise because causes and conditions have come together to cause them to arise. Ultimately, that means the whole universe is expressing itself in everything that we see. But what can we say about that? Well, one thing we can say, now that's the cause of dukkha, that's important for the Four Noble Truths. But now, what about the three seals of the Dharma? This is the other of the most important, the big three teachings in the initial Buddhism are the Four Noble Truths, the three seals of the Dharma, and the conditioned arising. Now, conditioned arising is necessary for the three seals. Why? Well, because look at impermanence. Impermanence, the first of the three seals of the Dharma. Oh, I should say a little bit about that. What that means. That mean, the seals here doesn't mean ocean going mammals. it means seals like the seal of approval, you know. Like if you went to court and you had to get a document out of the court and you wanted something on it to show that it's really an authentic document out of the court, the clerk of the court might put the seal of the court on that document, right? And you could say, aha, okay, now if I show this to somebody, they'll know it's authentic. It's got the seal on it. Well, if you're looking at some teachings or philosophical system of some sort or other, and you wanted to know whether or not it's Buddhistic in nature, Shifu once told us the way to just ask yourself, do they believe in the three seals of the Dharma? That's, if they believe in these things, then you're talking about Buddhism of some sort or other. Now, and impermanence is one of those things. Now, another name for the three seals of the Dharma that in a way is more, educational, tells you a little bit more about what it really means, is the three characteristics of phenomena. The three characteristics of phenomena, it's sometimes called. And what this teaching says is that every phenomenon that you experience in your life, everything, has three characteristics. One of those characteristics is it's impermanent. So if anybody has any permanent, there are actually a couple of exceptions to this rule. They're ultimate reality related. But in ordinary reality, certainly every experience you have is impermanent. Now why are they impermanent? Because causes and conditions are always changing. That's why. It's the fact that the causes and conditions will change. There's this constant flux going on with the universe. So these things, nothing is going to be exactly like it is forever. Okay? Now the exceptions that I was joking about a little bit, but in the original Buddhism, nirvana would be considered to be permanent. Once you get into nirvana, you never come out again. And so they talk about nirvana as being the only phenomenon that's unconditioned. Once you're in there, conditions don't affect it anymore, right? That's the idea. Now, we'll worry about that one when we get to nirvana, right? that'll be good. But as far as ordinary reality is concerned, any kind of phenomenon that we experience in ordinary reality, it's impermanent. In the Mahayana, we talk sometimes about Buddha nature. Buddha nature, no? You've heard that phrase? That's part of our teachings in the Chan school. Well, that's it's hard to define what Buddha nature really is precisely. But basically, what it usually is talking about is the fact that we all have the potential to become a Buddha. Right? We all have the potential to do that. And in fact, eventually we will do that. The Chan school is very, very optimistic in this sense. We will all eventually become Buddhas because we have this potential inside us. And so that's always there. And so in a sense, you might say that that's a permanent thing, but it's not a phenomenon like something that you experience, like this thing, or, it's very different from that.
Oh. 在我们讲因果的时候呢，必须要又提到的是一个三法印的观念，佛法三法印的观念。三法印就是无常、苦、空这三个观念。那三法印，我曾经听过师父提到，就是说三法印就好像是一个证明，当证明这不管是提到比如说一位法师讲些什么，如果他讲的这个内容呢，如果没有跟三法印所契合的话呢，那讲的这个法就是有问题的，就不可以说是佛法。那也就表示说，这个三法印就好像是一个很重要的这个法律文件，必须要在法院里面见证。那怎么又在法院见证呢？就是要盖这个法院的这个章子。那这个三法印它的重要点就像这个章子一样，证明说啊，今天所讲的这个法呢是佛法啊，那就表示说不管是讲的内容是什么啊，条件是什么，可是必须要有跟这个无常苦空这三个观念要契合。那这个因果我们讲因果呢必须也要讲到这个三法印这个观念，就是这个样子，就是这个原因啊。那另外要提到的呢，就是说一种对任何现象哈所谓的三种性质，有一种用三种性质，最任何的法中都有三种性质，那其中三种特性哈世间的法，我们所接触的任何世间法，这里面有三种特性。第一个特性就是无常的特性。 为什么说无常呢？因为没有一样世间法我们所接触到的永远存在而不改变的，它是受到因缘的变化而变化，也没有说一直都不改变的，所以说就是说无常，所以它这是世间法的第一个特性，就是无常。那我们一般佛教徒常常听到的一个名词叫做佛性啊，这个佛性呢，就不是所谓的我们所说的这个一般的这个世间法。那因为这个佛性是它不会因为因缘而改变的，所以就要提到，虽然要讲到，就是说佛性这个跟一般我们所说的这个世间法啊有不一样的地方，就是佛性它是不会改变的。
Okay, now the second one of the three characteristics of phenomena, this anatman or no self as it's called, is also understanding what that really means. Is aided significantly if you understand what causes and conditions are. This one, no self, is very often misconstrued. A lot of people, and you know, a lot of the translations and so on, especially the earlier English translations of the Buddhist texts have sort of translated this in ways that make it seem like something that it isn't exactly. People look at this and they think, you mean you're saying that I don't exist? There's no self? Does that mean there's no me? The answer to that question is no, it doesn't mean that, although it does sort of sound like it might mean that. So it's understandable that people get a little bit misled by this when they hear that. But it doesn't mean that there's no you at all. You don't exist at all. It doesn't mean that. What you have to understand here is that what they're talking about really is different modes of existence. I don't want to get too highfalutin here, but this is sort of the best way. It's helped me to understand this, and I think it can help you if you listen to it. We use the word exist in English to refer to various somewhat different states. There are different modes of existence. You know that English word mode, a mode of things? We got existence here, but it's not always exactly alike. There are different types of it, different modes of existence.
第二个特性呢？
Do you have a word for mode?
现象哈，或是 mode 或是一种像，我想 mode 可以解释是一种色相啊，不同的色相。第二个特性呢是无我的特性啊。当我们讲到无我的时候呢，一般人好像就会有一种表面上来听起来好像有一种误解的观念，就是啊，你说无我好像我不存在了啊，好像我明明在这里啊，怎么说无我呢？怎么没有我了呢？是不是一般人刚听这个无我这个名词的时候会有一些这样子的一个误解啊。事实上佛法讲的无我并不表示说不存在这个色身这里好像不存在哈，没有这样东西，它并不表示它的说无我的观念并不是说这个现象不存在啊，这一点要大家要搞清楚。它所谓的无我呢，是说没有一种固定不变的这样东西啊。所谓因为这个第二个特性的无我，就是解释说我们今天存在是有各种现象的存在啊，各种存在是一种不同形象的这种存在，而不是一直都不变的这个它是这样子的解释。
Okay, all right. For example, some modes of existence. The simplest, probably for most people to conceive of or to get their minds around, is just a physical object. When I say this book exists.English speakers who hear that sentence and see what I'm doing, standing here holding up a book, sitting here holding up a book. English speakers don't get nervous about that. That all makes perfect sense to them. Why? Because this is a physical object, and everybody has a pretty You know, we have a pretty deeply ingrained idea about what it means for a physical object to exist. Here it is. That's what that means.
当我们说存在这个字呢，我说这本书存在，一般人听的就是，对啊，这个本书真的是存在啊。因为我们说存在就表示说有这样一种这种物质有一种可以触摸的这个物质存在，表示这个意思。
Okay, but now how about this statement? Injustice exists in the world, what I use for this. Now once again, English speakers, they hear somebody come and say, you know, injustice exists in the world. English speakers don't think, oh, this person's crazy. He's talking nonsense. He's babbling. They don't feel that. It sounds like, because that's a reasonable sentence, right? Most of us think, yeah, there are places in the world where bad things are happening to people, and you know, it's...Injustice is going on over there. We all sort of have that idea. So that statement, injustice exists in the world, also makes sense, just as this book exists, makes sense. But what's the mode of existence of injustice? It's not a physical object, right? So whatever we mean by that is actually, in some ways, a little bit different from what we mean when we say this book exists, right?Okay, it's a different mode of existence.
再想想下面这一句话，这个世间是不公平的，不公平是存在这个世间的。你听到这句话，这时候，你想，是啊，这个不公平这样的现象是存在这个世间的。那我再问一下，这个不公平这个现象你可以看到吗？你可以触摸到吗？像跟这本书来比较，你可以看到吗？虽然你看不到，可是你听到这句话的时候，你可以认可说，不公平的现象是存在这个世间的。
All right. So anatman, no self, is really just trying to focus our attention on what the mode of existence of humans.And also of objects actually is. What is it? What mode does this existence take? It's not really saying that there isn't any object at all, or there isn't any human being at all. That's an exaggeration of what the idea is about. For example, the Dalai Lama goes into this in very great detail. This is...The Madhyamaka school is very, very strong on this topic. And as the Dalai Lama says, he says, there's no doubt, really. I mean, you know, as you go through the world, there's a person, you know, you're walking through the world, you're living your life, you're doing the things you have to do. And we all know that on the level of conventional reality, it doesn't make any sense at all to say that you don't exist. There you are, you know, you're doing all these things.Some kind of existence is going on, right?
当我们解释这个无我这个观念的时候，很重要的是我们强调的世间的现象呢，这个人物所接触的，我们所接触的，包括自己本身哈，它这个存在就是这种现象的一种存在，这种暂时这个形态的这个存在，这个观念啊。佛法所要强调的是这样子的哈，比如说像在这本书达赖喇嘛提到的这本书，他这个大乘佛教里面讲这个无我呢，讲的也是很清楚哈，并不是说我们我这个色身呢是不存在的，事实上我这个色身在这个现象在这个时空里面是存在的，那我还是要遵照这个现象这个时空所该做的所该遵守的这个法律，我还是要遵守。
All right, well, so what kind of in what way is this self not what does this no self mean then exactly? Well, once again, it means what it's saying is that there is no self that is not subject to causes and conditions. Okay, that's.What links this teaching back into this very, very fundamental idea for Buddhism. When they say there's no self, what they're saying is, sure, you have a self, but that self is impermanent, and that self is subject to causes and conditions. When things change, you're going to change too, right? Now notice that that idea of what the self is radically different from the idea that a lot of religions have about what a soul consists of, right? What the soul is. And that's why it's called Anatman. It's really referring to this Hindu concept of the Atman. And in basic Hinduism, the idea is that we all have inside of us a little piece of Brahma. And that is what's called our Atman. And that thing never changes. Never. Now, karma we can develop that is attached to that in some way that I don't really know well enough. But the idea is that the Atman itself never changes. Ever. It transmigrates through all the births and then eventually disappears back into Brahma when you achieve enlightenment or whatever. What Buddhism is saying is that no, there isn't a self like that, a self that isn't subject to causes and conditions.
这个无我呢，用佛法来解释是表示说，没有一这样没有一个我，没有一个我是不驾驭于这个因缘法。什么世间所有的现象，包括这个众生，或是所有的现象，都必须是都是驾驭在这个因缘法的原则下产生的或是消失的。所以就是说这个他这个无我的观念是紧密的接着跟着这个因缘法由因缘法来解释这个无我的观念。比如说他刚讲的这个梵文里面解释他用这个 Agma 哈，他这 Agma 的这个梵文，他这个解释就是说，好像我们这个众生里面呢，有一样这样东西，他用的名字叫做 Agma， 这个东西是不会改变的，是经由这样子的一个东西呢，他这个其实这个东西用这个字东西其实来解释不是很好，反正就是有这个东西这样子一个东西呢，而演发出来的这些世间的这些现象。那这些世间的现象呢，是要遵守这个因缘法的因缘合就生，因缘灭它就不存在。可是这个阿玛它这个本身呢，这样子的东西是不会改变。
Okay, now so why am I stressing this? Well, the three seals is vastly important. And it's linked totally. It's tied in with the concept of conditioned arising. When they say no self, they just mean no self that is not subject to conditioned arising. Okay? There is conditioned arising and it does affect these things. Okay? Now, another very important word I wrote down there. I'm just continuing on my quest to get you guys to realize that conditioned arising is important. You all heard the word emptiness, right? Very important concept in Buddhism, especially in the Mahayana. Extremely important. Well, basically, what emptiness is, it's shunyata in Sanskrit. But what it means, once again, is it's a combination of impermanence and anatman and no self. So in the the great, great Heart Sutra, we all know that. If we, the Mahayana Sutra would recite it in all Mahayana temples every day. It starts out with the famous phrase, when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing through the deep Prajnaparamita, he perceived that all five skandhas are empty. All five skandhas have a particular characteristic. That is the characteristic of emptiness. Now, the five skandhas is just a reference to the way a human being. What it really means is all your experience, every experience you have has this characteristic until, if you reach nirvana, well, then it won't, because, nirvana is permanent, right? or if you become a full Buddha, then maybe you won't have this problem anymore. It's not a problem. But all the experiences we have, every phenomenon that we deal with as we go through the world, has the characteristic of shunyata. What does that mean? It means it's impermanent, and it does not have a self that is not subject to causes and conditions. That's what it means. Okay? It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist at all. It does exist, but not permanently. And its existence is subject to change as causes and conditions change. Okay, that's true of everything that you experience. Now, when you can really learn to live that way, you will have nirvana in your daily life. That's when you transcend all suffering. You transcend all suffering. If you can really live within the spirit of this understanding of the empty nature of everything that you experience.
第三个特性就是空的观念，这个空。那讲到空的时候呢，我们每天早上做早课的时候，我们都会念诵心经。那心经讲的一开始就是观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。那这就是这我现在提到这个空，就是心经里面讲的这个空，照见五蕴皆空。那照见五蕴皆空，它这个空的观念要跟我刚刚所讲的这无常跟无我息息相关的。因为我们了解到所有世间法都是无常的，都是跟着因缘法契合的，也表示说因缘和合就生，因缘因缘灭它就灭掉，所以它这个是跟因缘法息息相关的，所以就解释到这个无常的观念。那因为无常，也就没有这个所谓永远不变的自我的存在，因为自我这个色身的自我也是要跟随着这个因缘法跟着因缘法而生灭的。所以说因为是这样子，因为是无常和无我，所以说就能够空掉。那如果我们真正能够了解到这个所谓世间法一切都是无常无我，而它的整个的这个本性是空的呢，我们真正能够了解的话，我们就可以离苦得乐。
It's all subject to causes and conditions. Later in the Heart Sutra, you know the phrase, form is not other than emptiness and emptiness not other than form. Form is precisely emptiness and emptiness is precisely form. So also are sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. Those are all the five skandhas. Now what they're saying there is that don't think that emptiness is somewhere separate, somewhere other than where your own experience is right now. Form is not other than emptiness. You know, form is one of the skandhas, but your whole thing, it's not different from emptiness, okay? Form is not other than emptiness. Form is precisely emptiness. It's the shunyata nature of our experience right here, right now, that is being referred to. And what you're not trying to escape from reality. You're just trying to see reality the way it really is. You see, if the world of emptiness was somewhere else, and you could run away from this world where, your girlfriend is picking on you and your boss hates you and everything is lousy all the time, and all you want to do is run away and go to the world of emptiness, where the big rock candy mountain is or whatever, and have a happy time, you're not understanding the concept of Buddhism. That's not what the Buddhist idea is, okay? You don't run away from this world to this wonderful land of emptiness. It's not that. What you do is right here, right now, in this world that you are experiencing, you understand the empty nature of what it is. And that's how you live. So it's an attitude adjustment that occurs within you. Okay? It's just learning to see the way things really are. What does Buddha mean? What does that word mean? Awake. Wake up. Wake up to reality. That's what the Buddha did. He didn't run away to a different world. He looked at this world and saw what it really is. And when he really understood it, he was able to transcend suffering. Okay? And part of what he saw was that everything is subject to causes and conditions. Everything. You got to realize that. That's part of it. It's changing. Don't cling to things and hope that they don't change. You've heard that a million times if you've been practicing Buddhism for a while. Don't cling to it. Don't get attached, right? I say that all the time. It's very true. Don't want to do that. Understand empty nature of things, causes and conditions. Nothing is going to stay exactly the same. Just get used to that. And you can learn to be comfortable with it.
那心经上又讲了说，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。这就是说，并不表示我们讲到空的这个道理的时候，好像有一个这样子的一个空的地方，让你能够逃避所有的苦啊。你跟你的女朋友不愉快了，或是你的老板老是欺负你了，这个时候你想，哎，这世界真的是，实在是都是太苦了啊。那我应该是逃避到一个逃避到这个整山整海的都是糖啊，那我那边每天吃糖啊，每天都是很甜美啊，就很开心哈。并不是这个意思。佛学讲的空呢，是说你真正能够了解到你所接触的这些世间法都是跟因缘有关系的。那因为是因缘和合而生，因缘和合而灭这个关系，所以当你在苦的时候，你也知道这只是暂时的苦，不是永远的苦，不是你一苦就是一辈子的苦下去，而是就是说你现在只是因为因缘造成你现在必须要苦的时候你会苦，那可是这因缘转变的时候呢，这个苦就没有了。所以说这个观念呢，所以说这个佛家讲的这个空性是跟我们生活日常生活息息相关的，也就是说你就是在当下这个观念马上有了啊，这个因缘法这观念牢牢的放在你的这个日常生活里面，放在你的这个神行为上面。这样子的话，你对于这个周遭所发生的一切事情，你自己内心啊是外在的这个世界呢，你都能够用这个无常无我和这个空性的这个观念来面对它，这有这样子一个正确的佛法态度来过你的日子的话呢，你就会过着一个很平安很愉快很快乐的这样子一个生活。并不表示说你不会遭遇到一些不愉快的事情，可是当你遭遇到的时候，你会知道哦，这是暂时的，这是因缘暂时必须要面对的一种现象，可是在因缘改变的时候呢它也会改变的。所以说这个空这个观念你必须要真的很清楚不是说都不存在我这个色身也都不存在了，并不是这样，而是说没有一个永远不变的这种现象这样子的东西。
Okay, once again, Shifu in this book says the following. One attains the highest truth in Buddhism when one realizes the emptiness of both self and of phenomena. The highest truth in Buddhism. Shifu says that in here, okay? So if you disagree, take it up with him, all right? Little hard to do now, but... Okay, so this is it. This is it. This is the highest truth in Buddhism. Buddhism, it's hard to do. It's a lifetime's work, you know, because your tendency is going to be to not want to do it. That's because you got all this terrible habit energy, because you're ignorant. We're all ignorant. We're stupid. And we do dumb things, and those dumb things give us bad karma. And we then get punished for that, right? And it's all because up here,
when sensations, we like some sensations are so pleasurable we want them, and other sensations are so horrible that we want to get rid of them, can't accept it, go away. And all of that makes us crazy, okay? And we do dumb things, all right?
I'm sorry.
But we'll go into that in more detail next time. Anyway.
最后就想再做一位强调啊，就是用师父在正信佛教这本书里面提到他讲的一句话，他说佛法最高深的一个道理，最高深的道理，也就是要了解到这个无这个空的这个观念。那在我们所谓所有这个修行呢，就是要能够空掉对我和法的执着，这就是佛法最高深的一个道理。那也就是说，今天我们为什么会变成众生，为什么在娑婆世界受苦，就是因为我们一直在这个十二因缘法里面这一直循环都不出来。然后我们看到自己喜欢的东西，或是人，或是事，或是物，我们就想尽了办法想要抓住它，想尽办法想要拥有它，想尽办法希望它能够一直跟我跟这样东西跟我们一直在一起。那我们不喜欢的人事物呢，我们就想尽办法一直把它除掉一直去把它推开来。就是因为我们这样子的原因，我们一直生生累累生生世世一直做这样子的事这样子的这种行为，或者是造成这样子的一种业力，所以我们就脱不出来这个娑婆世界的这个苦。那佛法最高深的道理，就是要教我们教我们这个观念，所谓的无常无我很空的这个三个观念。如果我们真的能够真的能够很用心的去练习修行，让我们能够空掉对自我和对法的执着，那我们就能够证到佛法里面所提到最高深的道理真正能够变成一个解脱，能够变成一个真正自在的快乐人。
Okay, just one last little thing, and then I'll take some questions. But you should be happy to hear that there's no magical land of emptiness that you're trying to rush off to. You're dealing with what's right here, right now. And it's inside your head, you know, and our brains are pretty plastic. If you read about, recent studies and so on have shown that humans can learn to do a lot of things that people used to think we can't learn to do. You can learn this. And you don't have to go anywhere else to do it. You can do it right here. It's always right in front of your nose. Always. Okay? That should make you happy. Okay? There is hope. Cessation of suffering, third noble truth. It's possible.
最后要鼓励大家的就是说，这个离苦得乐是可以做得到的。离苦并不表示说，要跑到一个什么这个神话这个神幻的这个世界去并不表示这样子。我们当下就可以得到极乐。那当下怎么得到极乐呢？就是要有这个观念和这个态度，看一切事情，知道它是无常，知道它是空，知道它是无我的。我们能够照这样子一个观念，这样子的态度去生活的话，我们当下就在极乐世界。所以，而且呢，要知道佛当初他证道的所谓的四圣谛，他讲的就是苦集灭道这个第三谛。就是鼓励我们，我们是可以做到的，我们可以灭掉我们这些累生累世所造的这些苦，是可以做到的。
Okay, well, I've done what I wanted to do today, which I hope I have. At least I've gotten as far as I don't know whether I succeeded, but I want you to understand that this whole idea of conditioned arising is a very important concept, one of the really fundamental concepts of Buddhism.And so always keep it in mind. Don't be scared away by the fact that the 12-link chain, which next week I'll go over the 12-link chain in detail. It is kind of daunting and scary when you look at it. There's so many different things involved and so, but it's not really that hard. Believe me, it's not. And so we'll go over that next week. But I want you to understand it is important in terms of what Buddhism is. Remember, Four Noble Truths. What is the cause of suffering? Well, it's this. It's this causes and conditions thing happening and how that works. And why are things impermanent? It's causes and conditions. What do you mean when you say there's no self? Well, all we really mean is that there's no self that's not subject to causes and conditions. Okay, that's all it really means, right? Okay, not that hard a concept when you think about it that way. And remember, you know, emptiness, which is just impermanence and no self, understanding the empty nature of all phenomena that you experience and also of your own self, you know, which doesn't mean you don't exist. When you say that you're shunyata nature, you still exist. You're a human being, right? The conventional self exists, but you're not permanent and you are subject to causes and conditions. Okay, that's what it means. All right? Okay.
今天我讲的就是强调的这个佛法所说的这个无常、无我、很空的这个观念因为它跟这个因缘法息息相关的，所以就希望用今天的这个时间呢让大家知道这个非常重要的一些这个佛法观念下个礼拜呢，我就会正式的讲这个十二因缘那十二因缘听起来好像很复杂，好像是很不容易懂的东西其实不是的希望大家能够再回来听我解说这个十二因缘。
Okay, we have time for one question, and Harry really wants to ask it. What is it, Harry?
还有时间问一个问题。
No, it doesn't just mean being stupid in the normal sense of what stupid means. We will talk about ignorance in detail next time. Basically, what ignorance means, though, I can tell you, ignorance, this is what Shifu says here. Ignorance means not having right views, which means not understanding the Four Noble Truths, the Three Seals of the Dharma, and causes and conditions. Those are the three big things. If you really understand those and live your life, and it's got to be more than just an intellectual understanding. Now, you have to also be able to live it, which is harder than just understanding it intellectually. It's like the famous thing, it's like telling an alcoholic to stop drinking. We're all like alcoholics. The Buddha comes up to us and says, you know, drinking's kind of bad for you. You should probably stop. We go, yeah, you know, you're right. But then what happens the next time we walk past the bar? Because we're alcoholics, we go in and have a drink anyway. What does that mean? That means the strength of the desire to drink is more powerful than the intellectual understanding that drinking is bad for us. It just overwhelms us. Almost all of us have habit energy from, you know, millions of lifetimes. We've developed all this habit energy that leads us to to behave as if the three seals of the Dharma weren't true, and that causes and conditions don't really operate the way they really do. That's how we want to act, and so we do, because we've got bad, bad habits, right? And that's what causes us to make mistakes, which creates more bad karma for us, which keeps us in the cycle, which, you know, it's a vicious circle, this circle. It's a vicious circle until you break it, at which time it becomes a virtuous circle. Okay? But we'll talk about that a lot next week. Okay?
简单的说就是说他的问题就是说刚刚讲到就是说我们这个业的关系我们做一些坏事情啊我们就会受到一些坏的果报那其实基本上我们佛法讲的业的这个道理啊事实上如果更深层的讲的话呢并不表示说做好事得好报做坏事的坏报事实上还讲的更深层的是一个无明的观念因为我们没有正念因为我们有正念哈，所谓的正念就是我们对于这个四圣谛的道理，对这个三法印的这个道理，还有这个苦空无常无我的道理哈，不 不了解而不能够持受它，不能够真正的放在我们日常生活上的受用，所以我们是一直照着我们这个习气来做事，照着我们这习气来决定一些事情，行做一些行为，所以我们会一直循环在这个苦里面啊。所以说这个我们必须要更深入的是要破掉这个无明。所以说那这个呢，我们下个礼拜会再仔细的想。谢谢。
Okay, thank you for coming. I hope it helps.